Hi, I'm Chris Carr, and I'm here to promote my book, Crazy Sexy Diet, which is my third book. And my first two books were about my journey with cancer. And this book is really the diet that helped me tremendously. And I think it can help you, whether you have cancer or not.
And I understand you don't want to get really into the specifics, but maybe let's just start with you overcoming cancer. One thing I've been doing is a lot of interviews with women who've overcome major obstacles, so that's certainly one. Can you talk to me a little bit about your journey with overcoming cancer and how that affected your life?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, cancer basically changed my life in some ways. It made my life a much better journey. It's always been my teacher. It's something that I live with. I've been living with for 7 years now and thriving with. And cancer basically forced me to change my life in many ways. And what I've been doing through my my work and through my website, which is crazysexylife.com, is basically helping other people overcome obstacles, whether it's cancer or whether it's, you know, a different diagnosis or whether it's, you know, depression or crazy sexy divorce. I think that whenever we hit our tipping point, it's usually, you know, it's a sign. And you can go one way or you can go the other. And I think I chose the right way, which is basically go back to the basics and learn how to take care of yourself and really take care of yourself and not be a weekend warrior about it. And so I pursued many different diets along the way because I knew it was one thing I could control, which is what I consumed. And then I found what really is great for me. And I've been doing online cleanses and helping people change their diets for the past few years. And I found through a lot of testimonials that it helped a lot of other people too. So the basis of my third book is just everything I learned about taking care of myself, mostly through diet.
And if you're comfortable with this, just for the listeners who haven't yet read your book, can you talk about what kind of cancer you have had, right? You
don't know. I still live with it.
Okay, talk about that. What kind of cancer you have and how you came to even find out about it.
I have a very rare sarcoma called epithelioid hemangioendothelioma, and it's quite a mouthful.
It is.
And I found out about it, really, it was a fluke. I was misdiagnosed for several years, and then it was after a particular yoga class that I was just in a lot of pain, and the pain got worse. And it was a pain I had felt, you know, on and off for years, but kind of, you know, when you're young, I was 31 at the time, you just brush it off, Teflon youth, nothing's wrong with me, and put the pedal to the metal and keep on going. So finally I did go to the doctor, and when I found it was stage 4, and there's no cure and there's no treatment. So it really sent me out on almost like a mini hero's journey to figure out what I would do to start, you know, living like I meant it. And I wasn't sure what that would bring me, and I didn't know how long I'd be alive for. And what turned out to be this journey about looking for a cure became a journey of finding my life, really.
And it is a mouthful, the type of cancer, and I, in fact, don't even know what that means. Can you put that into layperson's terms for people who aren't familiar?
It is a mouthful. Yeah. It took me a while to figure out what the hell it meant.
Yeah.
A sarcoma is a soft tissue cancer, so it's in the lining of my blood vessels and my liver and both of my lungs. And it was one of the biggest part for me was just finding the best doctor, first and foremost, because otherwise they would have started cutting, tearing, zapping, you know, nuking. And when I found the oncologist at Dana-Farber, who became my doctor and now my colleague and dear friend, we just decided to watch and wait. And so far, I've been doing just remarkably. My cancer is completely stable. And it's just a part of my journey. It doesn't define me, basically.
So you haven't done chemotherapy or anything like this. You've completely controlled this by controlling your health, basically.
I think I participate in it. You know, I don't think that we can say definitively that, you know, we control something that's so unknown. And I think that I probably have a good disease, believe it or not. And I think that what I've done to change my life certainly sets me up for success.
And can you just give a little bit of a glimpse what your life was like? I'm thinking about career and everything else, because you said you really changed your life by getting diagnosed and then making some changes. So give me kind of the pre and the post diagnosis of you.
Right. Well, before cancer, I think like BC, before cancer, I was an actress and a photographer living in the city. I was burning the candle at both ends. In the city, I mean New York City. And I lived on fast food and prepackaged things. Anything that was easy to like nuke and go or take out with, you know, preferably a martini was fantastic. And then when I was diagnosed and, you know, I found out that there was no treatment and whatnot, first thing I did was I left the city. And then I really went on a huge journey around the country looking at different alternative and integrative modalities that might help me. And I made a film about it for TLC called Crazy Sexy Cancer, which is available easily to get. And that was the beginning of my cancer as a teacher, you know.
And had you written before that?
I was a closet journaler. I had probably about 30 journals under my bed from years of writing, and but I didn't think I had what it took to be a writer. You know, I was a little intimidated. But once I was, you know, diagnosed with cancer, and you can face that, writing is pretty easy. You know, writing and making a film, doing other things. I said, you know what do I have to lose? Absolutely nothing. And I think that the tone of my books really, especially for, you know, the people who have gone through the journey of cancer, it's very refreshing because it's very different, and it's not doom and gloom, and there's a lot of really practical, helpful information in the books. And I try and use that same tone in this book, Crazy Sexy Diet.
And concretely, talk me through some of the life changes that you made. If you could even give just a couple of examples of your diet. It doesn't have to have anything to do with your new book, just things that you did.
Well, you know, really the biggest thing, I studied many different modalities for years. I went back to school for nutrition. And what I do, and if there was anything, a little sneak peek of this book, and if there's any really useful tip that I'd want somebody to take from the book, is juicing. So juicing is the core of my regime, and it's green juice. So not a lot of fruit, not a lot of sugar. And it really, the diet that I follow focuses on balancing the pH of the body and, you know, cleaning up the terrain, detoxification, and healing the body from the inside out.
Gluten, do you have a take on that?
It's, you know, I think some people can handle it and some people can't. There's a 21-day cleanse in the diet, and I suggest that people just try it. Try to see, you know, what it's like to not eat gluten. And what's remarkable is a lot of people, when they do try it, they find out that that was the missing link for them. So I don't come down on it hard one way or the other, but what I do say is be a wellness warrior and experiment on yourself. That's what I did, and that's the reason why I am where I am.
And if you had to, well, actually, about three questions, they'll be fairly short. So for the cancer, it's in a stable place right now. Did the doctors give you any of the grim things that sometimes people hear about, like, oh, you can expect to live for X amount of years and this kind of thing?
Yeah, I got all of the expiration dates and whatnot. And I would usually fire the person who gave me that date, because it really is. It's like you are the CEO of your company. Your company is you. And you have to find the right person, your right second in command. And because there's so little known about my disease, I just didn't buy into any of the bullshit. Excuse me.
No.
You know, because what I said was, well, if there's so little known, then how do you know? And so finally I found somebody who knows the most, and he still, you know, says, well, there's so little known. And, you know, I think some cases of EHE, which is what it is for short, is more aggressive. Mine isn't. And so I don't live in that space. I find that, you know, looking for a cure, looking for a remission, I spent 7 years on that journey. And now it really is a practice of living in the moment. And right now what I know for sure is, partly because of the way I take care of myself, I feel fantastic. And it's not just cancer patient fantastic, it's normal everyday citizen, you know, I feel very vital.
So you changed the way you ate, you did change sleeping habits, the pace, acting, any of those things? Did you have to make changes in those arenas?
Oh my gosh, I moved to Hippieville, which is also known as Woodstock. I moved to a house in the mountains. I started to really live the life that I said I would live much later. And I said, well, why are you waiting for much later? And so, yeah, I definitely changed my sleep patterns. And I mean, really the biggest killer going on the planet is stress. So what people don't understand is that what we eat creates stress in our body as well. So we know that boss who's a total jerk is stressful. We know that commuting in the morning when there's rush hour traffic is stressful. We know that our friends and family can be incredibly stressful. But I think most people don't connect the dot that you can actually create a lot of stress in the body by consuming processed foods, by consuming too much animal protein, by consuming, you know, anything that's made in a laboratory, it takes a laboratory to digest. That creates stress in the body. So that's, I guess, the biggest, the second secret besides juicing is really think about your stress level inside and out.
And for women, I've sometimes encountered women who are just, not sometimes, very frequently, who are just afraid to advocate for themselves. They're sort of socialized to be people pleasers. So if the doctor says something, you don't necessarily challenge it. And you yourself have talked about firing, so to speak, your doctors. What advice would you have about being your own advocate?
I would say that nobody's going to give you permission to live. That permission is your birthright. And so if you can't stand up for yourself, then your New Year's resolution in June or whatever month it is when you hear this is to start doing it now. There's no time to waste. We come here alone, we leave here alone, and everything else is just delicious in between. So make it good.
And this, you might have already started to answer the thing I'm about to ask you, but if you had to think about all of the experience that you have from your pre-diagnosis to today, to the book projects that you've done and all the other things that you've done along the way, what would you say is your most important lesson that you've gained thus far?
Oh my goodness.
I know.
Gracious.
Right? What a question.
Okay, so let's see. I'd say imagine the life that you want. Put a lot of energy there, but also leave room for miracles.
That's very beautiful and very well said. And I promise this will be the last one. I'm working on a whole project called The Rhythm of Change and having people reflect on what does change mean to them and how does it apply to their life. So I'd really like you to comment on that as well.
Well, that's just such a great title because, I mean, The Rhythm of Change, to me, the first thing I thought of is energy. And, you know, a lot of times we keep the energy moving in a direction because we're so convinced that this is the way we need to go. And that's why I said leave room for miracles, because I think that when you start to make changes in your life, the energy really shifts in a way that brings unexpected beauty and unexpected balance and peace that really kind of connects you to your spirit. And that's really, I think, to me, the ultimate reason why I do what I do. So I think that's a perfect title, and I feel it's an energetic shift.